Look, here's a statistic that clearly I wasn't particularly aware of, and it's the fact that an average woman is going to use as many as 12,000 disposable sanitary items in their lifetime. And I don't think it takes a big stretch to imagine that that is having quite an effect on our environment. Now, a growing number of women around the world are choosing to switch to a more eco-friendly options when it comes to having their period. Rosie Sheba is from Sustainable Menstruation Australia. Rosie, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mick. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Now, do we sort of know exactly what sort of impact disposable sanitary items are having on the environment?
Look, we've got an idea on it. It's very difficult to measure. One of the biggest, I guess, barriers to measuring it is the fact that it is such an unseen, hidden industry. So a big part of certainly disposing of menstrual products in Australia is the disposable industry surrounding it. So we have special sanitary bins in all of our public bathrooms, which are collected by private companies. And I've certainly tried to get the data for that and had a lot of trouble getting that. Most of it does end up in landfill, or it's either incinerated, which is arguably worse for the environment.
Mm.
And a big part of that also is marine plastics debris. So certainly in Australia, we don't have this problem quite as much with tampon applicators, but certainly in America and half of the rest of the world, they use tampon applicators, which are basically a disposable plastic tube. And 1% of marine debris is medical waste, and half of that is actually disposable tampon applicators. So certainly in the oceans, it's creating a massive, massive impact.
Look, you mentioned before about how hard it is to get info. I mean, we've still got this weirdly pervasive cultural taboo when it comes to talking about periods. That's got to be having an effect. I mean, if we can't talk about that, how do we talk about the environmental impact?
Look, we absolutely do have that massive taboo and stigma, and that is something that I've certainly been working hard, and a lot of other people around the world have been working very hard to overcome in the last few years especially. The environmental impact, going back to that point, is something that, because of the size of this problem, it's something that is very hush-hush, and that links very closely in with the taboo and the stigma. I know that in the other, I guess, byproduct of that is the toilet paper that's used. So you think there's 12,000 products, but for each one of those products, it's usually wrapped in toilet paper, and it comes in disposable packaging as well. So there's that extra side of it that we don't think about. But the taboo and stigma around it is huge, and I think that culturally began around the time, well, in our culture. I mean, it goes through a lot of different cultures. There's different levels of taboo and stigma across the world, but certainly in Western culture, a lot of it began with the shaming of women around the witch-burning era, because a lot of the witches that were burnt were midwives and healers and that sort of thing, and that began the destruction, really, of women's place in society and the beginning of patriarchy. But a big part of it also comes from the 30s when the tampon, the modern-day tampon, was invented. And it was around the time of, actually, it was just after World War One, and they had a huge surplus of bandages across Europe, and they didn't know what to do with them. So they thought, oh, great idea, they absorb blood. Let's market them as a period product, and let's market them as an internal way of disclosing and hiding, sorry, not disclosing, disguising and hiding the fact that you've got your period. And so they were marketed as hush and shh, and that was the big marketing campaign, was don't tell anyone you've got your period. This is an internal device and you won't know about it. And that began a big part of the modern shame and stigma surrounding periods, and the companies that market those products are usually things like Kimberly-Clark and GlaxoSmithKline and some of the big pharma companies, and that's a big part of their campaign, is to make it hidden. And I don't know if you remember that a lot of the old tampon ads used blue blood, mm-hmm. as a thing, and the fact they wouldn't even show blood on the screen was pretty bad. So that's something that we're up against. I mean, Procter & Gamble, another really big one, who manufacture menstrual products, disposable menstrual products.
Look, it's clearly a massive industry, and of course we are seeing at least a slightly growing trend, I think, towards more eco-friendly options. What else is out there?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few other options out there for people. It is a massive industry, and I don't want to go too much into the conspiracy theory side of things, and it's actually not, it's very scientifically backed up, but The industry that supports disposable products, they're also the same companies who manufacture the painkiller side of the market and also a lot of the antipsychotic medications and antidepressants, which are often prescribed for things like PMS and PMT. So there is a bigger issue that I'm sure you can all do your own research on. But in terms of the other options that are out there, there's quite a few. So one of the oldest options is reusable cloth pads. Now, a lot of people think, oh, cloth pads, that's really gross and disgusting. They have come a long way, just like they have in disposable nappies. So now there's a lot more modern materials that you can use for liners that are a little bit better for your body and easier to manage in the wash and that sort of thing. My personal, there's also the sea sponge, which is one of the oldest methods of menstrual care. And there are pros and cons of those as well. But my personal favourite method is a little device called the menstrual cup. It's made from modern medical grade silicon. And it's used internally to replace a tampon. It's a lot more comfortable than a tampon. You shouldn't feel it at all once it's inside. And the great thing about it is its lifespan is 10 years. So you get one device and it's 100% sanitized, 100% clean. So you can sanitize it between cycles by boiling it for 5 minutes in hot water. So it's very eco-friendly in that regard. Very easy to clean during your cycle. You just rinse it out, put it back in. And the risk of toxic shock is negligible. There's only been one recorded case, and that was because she'd had it in for about 3 days straight without changing it. She's not supposed to be doing. Yeah, exactly. But you can leave them in for up to 12 hours, which is 3 times longer than a safe. Well, the tampon, they say 8 hours, but recommended is 4. And there's a big, I guess the biggest reason it's a lot safer than the tampon is because tampons actually leave micro lesions when you remove them. So they actually tear the inside of the vaginal canal, and that creates an instant pathway for bacteria to get into the bloodstream. So menstrual cups don't do that. And so they're a lot safer for your body as well, apart from being more comfortable. And they hold 3 times the capacity of a tampon, so you can leave them in a lot longer. So in terms of, for me personally, I'm a scuba diving instructor. So for an active lifestyle, they're just fantastic. Best things ever.
Do you think there's better recognition of the cup as an option? Do you think, you know, sort of, you know, the women around the world are understanding that it's a choice?
Absolutely, yeah. A big part of that's been the online campaign, because traditionally we heard about our menstrual products through usually word of mouth from our mothers or friends. And so things like the menstrual cups just trickled through the network very, very slowly, whereas now with the online world, we've got YouTube videos, we've got websites, we've got, like, I Sell Mine online as well, which is the easiest way to get them out there. And the word is definitely spreading. They called, it was Cosmopolitan called 2015 the year of the year the period went public, which I thought was a great title. But there's certainly a lot more talk about it out there, and the stigma and taboo is coming down. Things like that marathon runner who did the marathon free bleeding was a really big news piece a couple of years ago. And there's a lot more public knowledge and awareness getting out there, and people are seeing things like the menstrual cup and going, oh, maybe I should try that, and maybe I should step outside my comfort zone and actually find something that in the long run is a lot cleaner, safer and cost-effective and better for the environment.
Look, Rosie, we will have to leave it there, unfortunately, but thank you for your time this morning, and we'll have a link up to Sustainable Menstruation Australia on the 2SER.com blog. Thank you for your time.
Fantastic. You're most welcome, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Rosie Sheba there. As I said, she's with Sustainable Menstruation Australia. Links to not only that group, but some other of the more sustainable options will be up on 2SER.com.